And most of the basic textbooks that we use in college don't actually include or include very little medical or healing information. But when you actually go to Asia and go to a culture where Buddhism has been part of the society for many centuries, you see healing, Buddhist healing everywhere. There isn't a Buddhist temple, anywhere in the world, I would argue, that doesn't have people going there to pray and to chant and to do rituals for healing purposes. And frequently there are, ritual practices and services that are specifically intended to bring people in who are either themselves sick or have loved ones who are, it's not just meditation, but also, as I was saying earlier, rituals and food and social dimensions of healing, how these temples also are filling gaps in the healthcare system by providing patients with translation services and transportation and other health clinics and other kinds of all sorts of other kinds of interfaces with mainstream healthcare. And in addition to that, traditional medicine, like Tibet's a great example where you have a formal medical tradition, a lineage with texts and with lineage transmission practices, with a certain body of knowledge that you're supposed to know and be adept at. A whole medical tradition that is said to originate with the medicine Buddha, and to the foundational texts of this tradition called Soa Rigpa are the four tantras, right? It's literally a scripture that's spoken by the medicine Buddha. So there are traditions like that that certainly qualify as Buddhist medicine, but I'm also meaning to include the kinds of organizations, like for example, Suji, which is an organization based in Taiwan today, that does. They're a Buddhist organization, a Buddhist order, that has literally millions of volunteers, and they do all kinds of relief work in all over the world. They're creating medical clinics, free medical clinics, and hospitals. And that's biomedical medicine, right? It's modern scientific medicine that they're offering in those places. But they see that as entirely the building of these hospitals and the provisioning of the hospitals and raising funding and getting the volunteers to work and so forth. All of that is for them framed as bodhisattva work, right? Bodhisattva path, and they see themselves as being the hands of Guanyin Bodhisattva, the thousand-armed Guanyin Bodhisattva that supposedly can appear and manifest in all different ways and create to help people, to help suffering beings all over the cosmos. Well, they see themselves as the hands of Guanyin, actually carrying out the Bodhisattva work to reduce people's suffering. So that's very much for me also Buddhist medicine, even though what they're doing is contemporary surgery and biomedicine, right? So does really rigorously separating out religion and medicine in our modern Western ideas of those words, does it really add clarity to the picture? I didn't go back to the States as planned. I wound up staying sort of home-based in Chiang Mai. The sort of main focus of the next 4 years was a combination of two things that I learned immediately, one right after the other, which was I've discovered a 10-day Vipassana silent meditation retreat, and I discovered a 10-day traditional Thai medicine training program. And so I did one and then the other, and was just absolutely in love with both of them. And continued for the next, over the coming years to go back and forth between meditation centers and monastic centers on the one hand, and then various types of trainings at traditional medicine hospital and clinics, and with apprenticeships with individual healers to learn Thai medicine. And I always say that the thing, this kind of combination of Buddhism and medicine for me was it came right from the beginning, because when I was at the meditation centers and the monasteries, I saw the practice of healing by monks and by people involved in meditation training on the one hand. And then when I was in the medical apprenticeships with different kinds of healers and so forth, I always saw the role of Buddhism in their healing practices. And so for me, right from the beginning, I discovered Buddhism and medicine as these two completely intertwined and inseparable fields. And it was only much later, actually, when I came back to the States and sort of like found out more about Western Buddhism that I really, that I suddenly was surprised to realize how few people really appreciate the depth of that interconnection. Buddhism has pretty much everywhere, as far as I know, has always described itself as being the ultimate cure for suffering, right? Or the ultimate solution for the dissatisfaction of being human. And so all over the world, in various, in all of the Buddhist cultures that I've been familiar with, that idea of suffering has explicitly included health-related ailments, both mental and physical health. And so insofar as Buddhism is presenting itself as a solution or a cure for suffering, Buddhism has always introduced various kinds of techniques and ideas and practices related to the alleviation of illness. So in many cases, those are philosophical interventions, right? Like or you could say maybe meditation-based interventions, which lead you towards realization that the body is impermanent, or that the experience of suffering is empty, right? So there's kind of these practices that really are geared towards transcending the suffering, you could say. But Buddhism everywhere has also always promoted and developed much more practical interventions, applied interventions, things like herbal medicine and different kinds of contemplations that deal with specific visualizations, you could say, for example, or dietary practices or ritual practices that relate to alleviating suffering as well. And that's really true, you know, of Buddhism, whether it's Theravada Buddhism, Southeast Asia, or Mahayana Buddhism in East Asia, or, you know, Vajrayana Buddhism in Central Asia or other parts of Asia, or if we're talking about, you know, modern secular Buddhism, which again is interested in health and both mental and physical health, as we can see through the mindfulness research, MBSR research, and so forth. So it's just this kind of like perennial theme throughout the Buddhist tradition throughout the centuries. And I got interested in the history of that. How far back could we trace the origins of those ideas and practices? You know, and what's the relationship, or what's the role that Buddhism has in spreading medical ideas between cultures and around Asia and ultimately around the world? The kinds of interventions that we're talking about here, you know, specific practical interventions as being secondary or beside the point of Buddhism, or cultural baggage. I've heard that term being used for healing practices and so forth. And that's, I just want to point out that it's not an unpopular view. There's many, many people who express that view all around the world today, including in Asia and so forth, but it's historically uninformed, because if you actually look at the history, it really seems that Buddhism's involvement in healing, and the innovation of healing techniques within Buddhist circles and Buddhist institutions, the promises being made and the practices being implemented by Buddhists throughout history related to medicine really have been at the leading edge of why Buddhism is globally significant. It's why it's one of the major reasons why Buddhism spreads from one country to another. One of the major reasons why in places as diverse as Japan and Thailand and China and Mongolia, people adopted Buddhism and accepted Buddhism, and enthusiastically so. When you look at the history, it often comes down to the medical techniques and claims being made by the tradition. And I would say we're experiencing the exact same thing in a lot of ways in the contemporary world, where it's really, you know, meditation's ability to reduce stress and to provide more mental health benefits that are really, again, the leading edge of the Buddhist spread around the world today to places, you know, like the US and Canada and Europe and so forth. It's often people hear about the stress reduction benefits or the other health related benefits first, and that brings them to the practice of meditation, which then brings them to Buddhism. So I think it's very easy to discount healing, you know, in the histories of Buddhism. But when you actually look into the history, you find that healing is just absolutely everywhere. And it's not a secondary topic, but it's actually often the primary topic.